Hi, and welcome to this edition of Side Retired, the MLB podcast. It's Dylan, joined alongside James. And today, since this is a special Mets-themed edition, we figured we'd bring on another Met guest, sort of canceling out James's Yankee-ness. We have John Thorburn, who's also at Georgetown with me. So James and John, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. It's certainly an exciting time to be a Mets fan. Cannot lie.
It's just a disappointing day to watch the Yankees sit there and do nothing. And, you know, the Mets seem to be the team making the biggest push out of New York right now.
Yeah. So James, we'll get your opinion on the day first, and then we'll switch over to our Met fandom beginning to take over. So this is the non-biased opinion on everything. And if you're a Met fan here to celebrate, you might want to skip forward. But if you're a regular baseball fan, this is probably the section that makes the most sense. You saw the Mets get Starling Marte and Eduardo Escobar, as well as Mark Canha, in a span of 6 hours. And it felt like bing, bing, bong. And the Mets were all of a sudden going crazy, getting move after move. The offense is now solid. I know the pitching staff needs work still, and that's where we'll get into the rumors later in the episode. But James, just looking at the Mets offense alone, how do you think they're doing? Any more improvement? Is the Mets offense pretty solid now? What's up with the Mets?
Yeah, I think the Mets clearly saw there was an issue with the offense this past season. And, you know, Stevie Cohen decided, you know, they were going to address it. And they got after it in free agency very early, making three very good moves, in my opinion. I think starting off the day with Escobar, it's a great signing, a great switch hitter, kind of to balance out the Mets lineup. And I think the three signings will really bring a lot more consistency to the Mets lineup, you know, because last year they were very up and down, more of a home run heavy club to, you know, provide offense. So I think these three additions should really help cement the offense and be more consistent throughout a 162-game season.
And John, we'll go to you on this one. With these new moves, the Mets offense and lineup looks pretty different. So with these three names in mind, Dom Smith, Jeff McNeil, and JD Davis, if you had to play keep them or dump them, which one of those guys do you want to see with the Mets in 2022? Or are there any of those guys that are like, yeah, they don't really make much sense with the roster anymore?
Right off the bat, I think that JD Davis is going to be on the trading block. Last year, we saw him struggle a little bit off on the defensive side also. And then with Cano coming back, it doesn't really make sense to see him at the DH position. I think that McNeil will stay, though, because he's been very consistent in the past for the last 3 years. So I don't see them moving him anytime soon, unless maybe Javi Baez gets signed. And then Dom Smith is a little bit of a sleeper. He could be a DH pick also. And then I really love the Starling Marte signing, because that brings a little bit of speed, a little bit more spice to the lineup for the Mets that you weren't really seeing last season. But overall, an amazing day for the Mets free agency deals. Yeah.
And you mentioned two things there that are worth noting. Marte, I believe, stole 47 bases last year, and the Mets as a whole stole 54. So definitely a big game changer, top of the order, spark plug. He's going to be your leadoff center fielder, something the Mets really haven't had since, you could probably argue, Carlos Beltran. I know everyone's like, oh, Juan Lagares. I don't really think anybody.
Jose Reyes.
Well, I mean, a center fielder every day.
Oh, center fielder. Yeah.
I mean, it's Lagares. Brandon Nimmo was fine. The only problem is Brandon Nimmo gets hurt a lot. Maybe moving him to left field is going to help him with that. Andres Torres, Angel Pagan. None of these names really move the needle. Yoenis Cespedes is a center fielder. We all remember how that World Series went. So Starling Marte is going to be there at least for the next 2 years, maybe 3 years, and potentially move to a corner outfield spot when he's 35, 36. But for now, we're worried about 2022. The other thing you mentioned that's worth noting, and James, if you want to chime in on this one, is Javier Baez. Do the Mets still need to get him? Is the offense complete, or does he still fit perfectly at second base on this team?
Well, I think that the offense is good for now. And I think that these three additions really show that the Mets wanted to improve on the defensive side of the ball as well, because the Mets were definitely a little shaky on defense last year. And I think getting Canha and Marte to patrol the outfield should definitely improve all the woes out there. I mean, Canha has a great arm. So does Marte. I mean, they're both very fast. I think that should very, very much help the defense. And then Escobar is just solid. You know, he can play anywhere. He can play third. He can play second. He can play left. He can play right. So I think it's just a great addition on the offensive and defensive side of the ball for the Mets. I don't really think they need Baez now. I think that the money really needs to go towards the starting pitching and definitely the bullpen, because as I'm sure the Mets fans know, the bullpen was not a very bright spot for the team last year.
Gut reaction, John. Do you think Robinson Cano has a role on this team next year, second base, DH, or is he going to get cut?
I think they give him a little bit. I think they'll give him a one-month trial, but I don't. I think he's going to have a very short leash here, especially with the money that's owed to him. And then I could easily see him on his way out a month into the season.
And then, James, you mentioned the pitching staff, and there are heavy rumors, and we were delaying recording all day because of the whole Kevin Gausman's choosing between the Mets and the Mariners. We tried, however, it's 10 o'clock at night on Saturday, so we figured, let's just get this out here. Now there's a report from John Morosi. Kevin Gausman's expected to sign in the next 2 days as he wants to get it done before the labor negotiation and all that lockdown and everything happens. Is Gausman the guy the Mets should target? Or maybe, I know his Twitter war with the Mets seems to be hinting at his non-return next year in Marcus Stroman, maybe Robbie Ray, maybe John Gray. I know there's the big white whale is probably Max Scherzer, but I doubt that's going to happen. But how would John, we'll go to you as the Met fan first, and then we'll go to James, seamlessly transition there. And who should round out the Mets rotation? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, right off the bat, I think that Scherzer would be the best option. I know there was a lot of rumblings that he didn't want to come to the Mets at the trade deadline. So I think that's a little bit unrealistic. But I think our best option could really be Stroman, even though it seems like the front office right now isn't too interested in him. They're more interested in the flashy guys like Robbie Ray, Kevin Gausman. But I think that he'd be a really consistent option. He's already proven that he can perform at the level in New York, as he likes to point out on Twitter. But I think he would really round out the rotation and give us some consistency. He'll start 32 games in the season, and he'll be a really consistent guy to go to bolster that rotation with DeGrom at the top.
James, how about you?
I agree 100%. Stroman is 100% the answer. They shouldn't be flirting around with any of these other free agent starting pitchers. I mean, Robbie Ray's had this one flash year of greatness. Obviously Scherzer's great, but the Mets don't have that kind of money to be throwing at Scherzer, especially with his age. You don't want to take a risk on a Verlander-type injury of the Achilles or the Tommy John. So, I mean, you just upgraded on defense. Stroman's not a strikeout guy. You know, he gets a lot of ground balls, a lot of weak contact. And so I think getting Stroman, leaving Baez out, would be a great move for the Mets, and that's 100% the direction they should be headed with these remaining moves and the money they have left.
Well, I think there's the question is, how much money does Steve Cohen have left? He said in the press conference, I'm not going over the luxury tax just by a few million dollars. And I think, James, we looked at the math beforehand. They're probably like 10 million-ish over right now, and that's without adding.
They're about 10 million over right now. I think that they have some contracts they can restructure, maybe get Cano, you know, maybe lessen that a little bit, maybe look at lessening Carrasco a little bit. But yeah, right now they're about 10 million over, but so they still have potentially a lot of money to spend, but they haven't acquired any relief pitchers yet this offseason. They haven't acquired another starter yet. There's still so many question marks with this team. So if they're going to go big, they still have a lot of needs to fill this offseason.
So if I were to say the go big option would be they were willing to throw $45 million at Trevor Bauer last offseason. So why can't you do the same with Scherzer this year? I get it. Yeah. If it's a matter of, yeah.
I think as a Mets fan, why wouldn't you want two? Like, why wouldn't you want Gausman and Stroman? Why would you want the one big fish?
Can't I have Scherzer and Stroman?
Because then you're not going to have any bullpen money left over. I mean, we already saw Graveman, and I know Neris is terrible, but I mean, still, we've seen two relief pitchers go off the board already. I mean, Jansen's still there. That's going to be a lot of money. I mean, especially after what Graveman and Neris just got. So there's still some big, there's like the more in-between relievers are already gone off the board, and the Mets still have so many pitching needs they need to address. I don't think they can afford to take Scherzer and another top tier starting pitcher this offseason. So
I think, yeah, go ahead.
I just think they should settle for two of the good ones and not go for the Hall of Famer.
I agree. The ideal version would be Scherzer and Stroman or Gausman. And maybe it's just me, but I prefer Stroman over Gausman. It doesn't seem like the Mets do. And I doubt, based on how today has gone, especially, I doubt Stroman's coming back. And it seems like Gausman is closing in on the Mets. So Would I complain if the rotation next year is DeGrom, Gausman, Taiwan, Carrasco, and then a fifth starter who could, you know, maybe be as simple as Johnny Cueto or Yusei Kikuchi, which isn't a flashy name at all, but will probably cost you anywhere from $3 to $7 million while also having Tyler McGill and David Peterson? Would I complain about that at all? No, especially if you're saying they're going to get a closer like Rizal Iglesias, like Kenley Jansen, and then add a Baez as well. That pushes you probably well over the luxury tax while still spending and addressing every hole.
Yeah, you're probably at about 280, 290 million, which is about what the Dodgers and the Red Sox were at when they won the last couple of years.
Yeah, so unless you go with the Scherzer route, then you're probably looking at maybe getting Mark Melanson as a reliever, which isn't bad, but by no means is that a lockdown closer type of person. Maybe even someone as simple as Andrew Miller, because with the bullpen, you can find guys all the time that are rebounding. Aaron Loop was a solid reliever entering this year. Nobody expected him to have a 0.94, whatever his ERA was, and they turned it into $17 million this offseason. So if they could find the next guy, whether it's Archie Bradley, whether it's Jay Happ, probably not. I mean, James, you have experience with Jay Happ.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways the Mets can go with this. It's very hard to see which way they're going to go. You know, we don't know how much Cohen's going to spend. But I think this is a great start for the Mets this offseason. Mets fans have nothing to complain about. Cohen's, you know, gotten his checkbook out of his pocket, and he's shown he's willing to spend. So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing to complain about. You got a better lineup. You got better defense. And I think Mets fans should just be happy. Don't be content. Be happy with the moves now and see what's to come in the coming weeks.
All right, so we'll start with John for this one. Normally, we do a sign and a trade at the end of the episode where we predict one signing and one trade. Last episode, if you haven't watched yet, Sweeney Murdy was on the podcast, Yankees Insider. So James and I threw our predictions at them. And, well, you can go listen to that episode if you haven't yet to hear what Sweeney thought of our fake trades. By the way, I said Steven Matz to the Mets and Sweeney bought it. But then apparently Steven Matz didn't buy it. And 24 hours later, left us to go to St. Louis. But that's a story for another day. So, John, instead of the regular sign and a trade, you are predicting what will happen the rest of the offseason signings and trades for the Mets, even if you only have one or two.
Okay.
I assume there's a bunch of minor things they'll do, but just focus on the big. Will they get a starter? Will they get another position player? What you got there?
Okay, so I think that they might tap into the trade market for a reliever. I'm thinking maybe they'll go for Kimbrel. I've heard he's on the block over at the White Sox. I think that could be realistic, maybe a pretty penny, but I think that they really need a guy up there that will be in the back end of their bullpen that will be a mainstay. And then I really do think that Baez will come back to them after getting an offer from a different team. And I think Stevie will match it. And I think that Baez is coming back. I think that he proved that he mixes in really well with this team and can really perform in the New York spotlight. And I really do think that that one will happen and end up happening.
James, go for it.
I think John Gray will sign with the Toronto Blue Jays. No real thought behind it. I just think the Blue Jays want Semien back. And so once they get Semien back, they're cheap and they'll probably want to get a starter. It's not too much, but can obviously throw a lot of innings. And yeah, I think John Gray, the only reason people don't think John Gray is a great starting pitcher is because he's had to pitch at Coors Field for the last 4 years. I mean, that's just such a tough ask on any starting pitcher. So, yeah, I'll say John Gray to the Blue Jays. And then a trade. I mean, we saw that trade, that Adam Frazier trade today out of left field. I mean, no one saw that coming. But and great by the Mariners, great move. They're obviously going to make a playoff push next year. I think the Mets also will trade for a relief pitcher. And I'll agree. I think the Mets are going to get Craig Kimbrel. Hearing that, and I have also heard that he's been on the block. So, yeah, I'll lock that in. The Mets get Kimbrel sometime this offseason.
I think the Mets are also the type of team that they're not going to be afraid to take on a big contract if that means they're going to get pieces. So if the Mets say, hey, we'll take on all of Craig Kimbrel's contract, I think we also discussed this with Sweeney last week. If the Mets said, we'll take on Donaldson and you also give us a reliever like Taylor Rogers. So you could definitely see the Mets doing something like that. I'll go the creative route and say, this offseason hinges on what happens in the next 2 days. If they get Kevin Gausman, then I think there's a chance they also get Chris Bryant, and that's where that money goes. If they miss Kevin Gausman, I think they go out and they get Max Scherzer. Call me crazy, but I think Steve Cohen seems to be a big fan of Max Scherzer, realizes that's the star, that's the centerpiece of the offseason. These nice moves have happened so far, but who knows? If we get Max Scherzer and you pair him with Jacob deGrom, that is an insane rotation. Or they go the cheap route and they sign someone like John Lester and Johnny Cueto, who I wouldn't be opposed to, but again, not as exciting. I also think they'll do the trade route as well. However, they're going to knock two bullets out with the same, I don't know what the phrase is, two bullets with the same shot, whatever.
Two birds, one stone.
I'll take that. All right. I think they're going to get one of the Oakland A's pitchers, whether that's Chris Bassitt, Sean Manaea, or Frankie Montas. They seem to be on the board, ready to be traded. The A's are open for business. So I think the A's could definitely give the Mets one of those pitchers, whether it's a guy like Ronnie Mauricio, Dom Smith going back in that deal. Dom Smith could become the A's everyday first baseman if Matt Olson is on his way out. So I'll say the Mets get Chris Bassitt or one of those A's pitchers, and they also go after Matt Chapman in that deal.
Yeah, I feel like you could just say any of the A's players are going to get traded, and anyone would say that's a very good possibility at this point in time.
Now, if the Mets were, and I don't know his full contract situation, I can look it up. Again, with this, the Mets can eat salary sort of thing. If the Mets told the A's, who are strapped for money, we'll take on Elvis Andrus's contract. And Elvis is owed $7 million and then a $15 million option next year. $7 million doesn't seem like that much for the A's. It is that much. And he could definitely be a useful backup infielder for the Mets. I think this would also mean if they're getting Matt Chapman, then Eduardo Escobar becomes the starting second baseman. And so Javier Baez is not coming back in that scenario. So be on the lookout for an A's trade. This would probably happen after the lockout, after Gausman and after Baez domino effects happen. So be on the lookout. As we're pretty much saying, none of these ideas seem crazy, whether it's what John mentioned, what James mentioned, what I mentioned. In general, the Mets offseason is just beginning. Who knows what's going to happen? It's definitely going to be fun. I assume it won't all be decided by the time the lockout happens. So we will be covering it throughout December and January, hypothetically wondering what will happen to the Mets. One thing that we know, unfortunately, won't be happening, and James, we've been on this campaign for almost a year now, and Henry did a fine job of doing it for 8-9 months. Henry has since been bogged down with schoolwork. He's in the middle of junior year, which from Regis, I can attest that is a horrible experience junior year of high school. So Henry's now suffering through that with literally the same teachers I did, and I pity him for that. However, he hasn't been on recently. So James has adopted this sort of mantra that we've had at the side retired. And with the Hall of Fame bout being released, one name that we were very disappointed in, James, you can emphasize this as well. Crisp didn't make the ballot. So James, one last time, give us your humble opinion of how the Coco Crisp campaign went and unfortunately did not end with him being elected into the Hall of Fame.
You know, it was a sad to see the ballot come out and not see that name on there. But it was expected. I'll take the high road, unlike Marcus Stroman, and say that, you know, he did deserve to be on it for his play. And there was no other side effects as to why he wasn't on the ballot. It was just due to his play. You know, Crisp had a solid career. Maybe put him in the A's Ring of Honor, the Red Sox Ring of Honor. But he was just not a Hall of Famer and not worthy of the ballot, unfortunately. That campaign has come to an end. The campaign saw better days, saw much, much brighter days. But today was a bleak day and a sad day for all of us.
Time to latch on to the Barry Bonds as a Hall of Famer
campaign. Oh, I'm on. I'm fully on. I'm riding that wagon
all the way into the sunset. Definitely in December, when there is nothing to talk about, we will be doing a Hall of Fame preview, ballot, all that sort of stuff, breakdown. As always, follow along at Side Retired Pod on Twitter. We're interacting with a lot of people on there. We are following Marcus Stroman and Steve Cohen's Twitter accounts with a passion, seeing that that is pure entertainment. John, before you go, you got anything else to add? Any predictions? Is Barry Bonds a Hall of Famer, or are you all good?
I have one more free agency. I was thinking, after all these outfield signings, it's obvious that Conforto's on the way out and his time as a Met is over. I was going to say, maybe since the Seattle, as you mentioned, the Seattle Mariners are making a playoff push, maybe I could see a potential fit for him there.
I like that. I think because he's also from the Seattle area, so that could definitely be a fit. Also, I'll throw a sneaky San Francisco Giants might be a fit for Michael Conforto, mm-hmm. but it seems, as you're right, his time with the Mets, if it wasn't over when he was crying that last game at Citi Field, acquiring both Marte and Cana pretty much secured that, which means the end of the 2015 Mets ties. Except for Jacob deGrom. And who knows, if Juris Familia comes back this offseason, which please don't. Please don't. Just
someone else take him.
Go to the Nationals or go to the Phillies and take on the Hector Neris role. We'll be happy with that.
Blow some saves, please.
Yep. Sounds good. John, thanks for hopping on. James,
yes, we'll thank you. Going.
We'll be back with our regular episode, probably Tuesday or Wednesday, breaking down all the other deals as come Tuesday or Wednesday. Lockdown starts Thursday, so maybe we do a special on Wednesday. James will figure this out, and we will get you guys all the content that you normally like at Side Retired Pod on Twitter. DMs are always open if you have crazy free agent trade predictions or just want to talk baseball. We're doing that a lot with people lately. Kind of fun. But I guess unless you guys have anything else to add, James, anything? All good?
And with that, the side is retired.
Hey, that's my line. All right. Fine. All right. Side's retired. James.
I wanted to do that so bad.